In the Lanna stories, the statues exhibit agency by traveling around. So they travel around the region. And they, in this way, they basically select the worshipers that will take care of them. And statues are considered not to stay with, stay in a place where they would be neglected. So then they will be moving from different donors and based on the merit, kind of the virtue of particular leaders. So for instance, there's one figure that appears in a couple of stories who is probably Ram Kam Heng, a very famous king of Sukhothai. His virtue, you know, as a great leader, as a very meritorious individual, would be one compelling reason why statues would kind of gravitate towards him. Among these, the most famous Buddha images in Thailand are the Sihing Buddha and the Emerald Buddha, which is currently enshrined in Thailand on the grounds of the Royal Palace. And these two statues are the subject of Palmleaf manuscripts that were probably written around the 15th century. The chronicles about these relate at length about how they were made and by who. And then after that, they basically describe the statues moving from patron to patron, from India through Sri Lanka, and also around northern Thailand, also Cambodia. So the way that they moved, as I said, first of all, is that the Buddha images is understood as allowing itself to be moved. So it wouldn't move if it felt that it was going to someplace which would be where it would receive less worship or would have less of an effect on people. So it goes to those patrons which are considered to be highly meritorious. One king will go to the king who is currently in possession of the statue and say, I would like to have this statue. Because the merit of kings at that time was associated with their military prowess and their power, there is an aspect of, you know, the threat of war as causing some of these transfers, but in a justifiable way as due to great merit. You know, this is the reason why a particular king might have access to huge numbers of soldiers and cleverness and military strategy, et cetera. Another way that statues would move could also be kind of in a more amusing fashion. So in the story of the Sihing Buddha, that statue moved because of trickery. So there was one king of Gampang Pet who said, you know, I've heard of this famous statue, the Sihing Buddha. I would like to get a hold of it. And kings want to get a hold of these statues for reasons that they want to assist themselves and their people to move towards nirvana by improving their understanding of Buddhism by having these statues around. But also there's reasons of prestige. You know, you have this famous statue near you. It kind of says something about that king's merit. So anyway, so this king, he heard of the Sihing Buddha and he said, I would like to get a hold of it. So then he dispatched his mother to Ayutthaya, where the statue was at that time. And the mother got the king of Ayutthaya to fall in love with her. And then one day, you know, when the king was in a good mood, she went to him and said, you know, I would like to have the Sihing Buddha. Do you think I can have it? And he said, yeah, sure. Naturally, the king of Ayutthaya, when he figured out what happened, he was very angry. And the queen said, oh, don't worry. You know, you told me to get the Sihing Buddha, but that's okay. I can give it back to you. I will make a copy of the statue, which we'll keep in Gampang Pet, and then we'll send the original back to you. And of course, what happened was that the people of Gampang Pet, naturally, they kept the original and sent a copy back to Ayutthaya.